And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just saving the world one soundbite at a time. I am jumping into the next dipper now. That was, by the way, that was a great segment there with Caroline Dobson. You guys need to understand, y'all already know, most of you already know, we have 7 congressional seats in Alabama. 7 members of Congress that represent us as part of our U.S. delegation. Every state, of course, has their 2 senators. We have Katie Britt and Tommy Tuberville. But every state has a different number based upon population for their members of Congress. We have 7. Folks thought we were going to lose one of those in the census. Nope. Turns out that New York and California lost them. Yeah. Alabama, we maintained. In fact, we came pretty close to getting an extra seat. All right. Now, we have the 7. They have almost, gosh, I mean, I can't think when's the last time they had more than what we have right now. But we have 1 that is traditionally Democrat because of the manner which is drawn is in largely the biggest pocket of Democrat votes we have in the state. And that is Terry Sewell, our Democrat member of Congress. But the other 6 have been Republicans as long as I can remember. And it's been several decades. 6. We run the risk of losing one of those to the Democrats, so let's don't let it happen. All right, let's jump to the next dipper, though. Now I want to spend some time talking about what happened this past weekend. I hope you heard my monologue when I opened the show, and I called my monologue Moving Like the Maccabees. So there's a lot to be said right now for the way Israel is conducting this war against Hamas. But one of the things that happened this past weekend was, to me, just next level, because it just clearly indicated that Israel is taking this as a precision fight. This is not what the progressive left is going to try to convey to you, what the progressive left media is going to try and portray to you. This is not some wanton, just like, we're just leveling things, we're just blowing stuff up, we're just killing people as they stand in the street, we're wiping people out. It's not that. It's a precision, well-executed, highly trained, very disciplined, surgical demolishing of Hamas. In the course of doing that this past weekend, there was a raid by Israeli special operations that rescued 4 hostages. Now, I hope you heard my monologue earlier. If you didn't, you can always go back and get it, because we podcast this show and it's available for you. You can get the monologue by itself. The Right Side Way, I called it Moving Like a Maccabee. That's the name of today's podcast or today's monologue. But folks, what we saw this past weekend is the kind of mission they're going to make movies about. It is absolutely on a scale by comparison to some of the greatest hostage rescues you've seen in modern history. And this is a big deal, because it indicates that Israel is all in. They're going to do everything it takes to not just stop Hamas. They're going to do everything it takes to get their people back. When we come back from this, I'm going to switch gears, and we're going to go into the IDF raid. That's number 2 on the Triple Dipper. And let's talk about what the Israeli Defense Forces did just this past weekend. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one right here, y'all. I am talking about Alabama. And I mean to say, this show goes like way down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville and Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. Hey, before I go any further, by the way, I got to stop and just pause here a second and give you guys something big to think about, all right? So this is a crazy world. Yes, it is. And you're working hard to plan for your future and also stand up for your beliefs. So what if you found out that in the middle of doing all of that, that like some of the investments that you've been putting your retirement dollars into, that they are absolutely contrary to the things you say you believe in? Well, maybe it's time for you to meet Paul Breyer and his team of PhDs and financial experts over at Inspire Advisors, one of our newest advertisers, Inspire Advisors. Look, I'm talking about financial planning that actually considers who you are and what you believe in. These are like solid local experts using biblically responsible investing, data-driven strategies to maximize your return. And they do it in a way, by the way, that has a real impact on your bottom line and the world in which you live. I just call this financial freedom. Absolutely is. So here's something free I'm about to give to you. You ready? Free report. You can go to their website, www.moneypatternwealth.com. That's moneypatternwealth.com. And you can get a free impact report that shows you basically where your investments are going, what kind of things you should be thinking about. So Inspire Advisors, you can also find them other way. Just go to our website, rightsideradio.org. You can go to our sponsor page, click on the sponsors logo for Inspire, and it takes you right to their website. Either way, all said and done, you might want to consider conservative, godly, balanced financial freedom with Inspire Advisors at moneypatternwealth.com. All right, let me move on here. Next dipper of the day, the IDF raid. So if you have not heard, this past weekend, the Israeli Special Operations, which, by the way, are on par with anybody in the world, Israeli Special Operations conducted a raid to rescue four hostages. Now, I want to add some flavor to that before we jump in it, because the details of the raid themselves are significant. But what they were doing was rescuing hostages they had no reason to believe were going to be released anytime soon. Hostages, by the way, who were not POWs. They were not soldiers who had been taken in an act of war. These were all four. Generally speaking, I think three of them were in their 20s. One was 41 years old. They were literally innocents who were seized, kidnapped in their civilian capacities, no military involvement, and dragged away to Gaza and used as human shields now for the last 8 months. 8 months being held under horrible conditions. We've already found the bodies of a number of hostages who were all, you know, killed in some capacity, who didn't have to. Why were they even there? There is no purpose in taking hostages unless you want to A, get ransom, B, gain influence, or C, use them as human shields. There's no other answer. These were sacrificial lambs to the idea of Hamas having some leverage over Israel. So picture this. Hamas goes into Israel and commits massive atrocities. October 7th last year. Raping, pillaging, laughing their whole way through it, filming it like it was a lark, making their YouTube videos and laughing over the beheading of babies and the things that they were doing to innocent people in their sleep or at a music festival. It was just a tragedy of the highest level. Well over 1,000 Israelis died. It was the largest loss of Jewish life since the Holocaust in one day. Let that sink in. And Israel said, enough. We are not going to... They are not listening to anybody who says, oh, please slow your roll and consider the innocent Palestinians who had nothing to do... Listen, the innocent Palestinians are the ones who elected Hamas to be their leadership in the Gaza Strip. And I'm not saying they all need to die, but I'm saying that please don't think of this as an innocent community. All right? So this past weekend, story here on the Jerusalem Post. 98th Division of the Israeli Defense Forces, commanded by Brigadier General Dan Goldfuss, orchestrated what's called now a large diversionary operation. But see, that's the classic nature of a diversionary operation, is the Hamas fighters didn't know that. And oh, by the way, here's the other misnomer to get rid of. If you think for a minute that what is happening in Gaza is just Israel being wanton and going through and just leveling stuff and blowing stuff up and killing people in the streets, no. This is a surgically precise, well-orchestrated, highly and intensely disciplined military operation. This particular feint was to draw away active Hamas fighters because the streets, the tunnels, the buildings are still filled with active Hamas fighters. And so they did. 98th Division conducted a diversionary operation while Israeli Special Operations from an elite counterterrorism unit known as Yamam conducted a surgical strike on two buildings, a little cluster of buildings, really, in which it was believed that there were four hostages being held. And they rescued all four of them. Not without a fight. Y'all, they got in there and it became a firefight. And it went on for a while. We're told that despite the fact that there was an ongoing diversion to draw away some of Hamas's strength and take their attention off the scene, that what still happened was a massive firefight. Hamas fighters with small arms fire and what I imagine were RPGs. The article I've got says anti-tank weapons, which I imagine was RPGs, were all over it. And it was a hornet's nest. One of the Yamam vehicles was immobilized somehow, which required them to then, launch a counter-rescue operation. And so the 98th Division pivoted, sent in units for a multi-force rescue operation. They had air operations. Even the Navy took part in some way, mobilizing to extricate both the hostages and the stranded fighters. In the middle of it all, in an area that was called teeming with armed men, in which it was said that every second felt like an eternity, rescue helicopters got in and were able to land on the scene under fire. So it was a hot LZ. One of the hostages that was rescued was young 26-year-old female named Noah Argamani. Noah Argamani had been seized. There was a video of her being captured by Hamas terrorists at a music festival. A music festival. They rode in on motorcycles and everything, and basically they captured her and then filmed it, and filmed her screaming, "Please don't kill me," as they threw her onto a motorcycle between two Hamas terrorists and rode off with her. 8 months later, she's back with her family. I don't know what she endured while she was a captive, but 8 months later, she's home. In the course of this operation, the team commander for the Israeli Yamam unit received a mortal wound. He died later in the hospital. His name was Arnon Zamora. Arnon Zamora. They've already renamed the mission in his name, in his honor, for the purposes of posterity. It's being called Operation Arnon. And what I love is the fact, and I said it in my monologue earlier, is that Israeli officials are saying that he exhibited the heroism and the strength of Judah Maccabee. And if you don't know about the Maccabees, go back and look them up. But in roughly 139 BC, I think it was, the Maccabees led a revolt against the Greeks who had oppressed and occupied Israeli lands. And I believe this is in Judah. And the Maccabees led the guerrilla operation revolt. And it says that even the Greeks said that they were as fast as bears and as strong as lions. And so to be compared to a Maccabee does a couple things. It says who you were as a person. It also says that Israel does not see this as a singular operation in history. They see this as part of the big picture, and they're invoking the memory of the Maccabees. By the way, Hanukkah, in part, celebrates the Maccabees' victories. And they do not see this as being a singular moment in time. By invoking the Maccabees, I would suggest that Israel is lumping this in with the legacy fight for their own existence against people who hate them just for living. Now, in the meantime, despite the fact that they're holding hostages and they're committing atrocities and are doing all these things, I'd like to know what IQ is actually required to be a pro-Palestinian protester outside the White House right now. What IQ do you have to have? I'm pretty sure it's low, like functionally illiterate. At the very least, historically and socially and culturally stunted. TheBlaze.com has an article that came out Friday around the same time as this rescue operation going off. Pro-Palestinian activists were demanding an end to the war in Gaza, staging a massive protest that surrounded the White House. Smoke bombs were ignited. Progressives vehemently demanded that President Joe Biden be arrested for war crimes. Here's the thing. Code Pink is involved. What the heck? Code Pink, the feminist grassroots organization. Code Pink. Do they know what Hamas did to women? And yet Code Pink is out there helping organize this event. By the way, they were vandalizing Lafayette Park. You know, graffiti paint all over the statues, lighting smoke bombs, hanging their Palestinian flags on things, chasing away U.S. Park Police and Secret Service out of Lafayette Square. Where is law enforcement? Because I got news. If this was a bunch of Proud Boys out there, you know that if these were 3%ers, if they dared to carry a Gadsden flag or a flag of some type that relates to patriotism, they would have had riot police out there. But no, you can terrorize patriotic Americans. You can vandalize historic statues. You can surround the White House and call for death to Biden as they were literally holding up mock heads of a bloody Biden head, which is just beyond the pale. You can do all these things, but God and have no threat of charges whatsoever. Y'all finished? Okay, great. Thanks for coming by. Appreciate you leaving the graffiti. Could you just leave the spray can there? Thank you. But you know, God help you if you go down to Jacksonville, you know, in Florida, and you do, you know, a donut in the middle of a pride flag mural in the street. At that point, they do a manhunt and they're going to charge you with a felony. Yeah, all that happened this past weekend. I'll tell you about after the break. When we come back, I'll tell you about the press reactions, because the press reactions have been rather mixed. You got an opportunity here for a story, y'all, but no. You're going to get out there and start talking about how the hostages were released. No, they weren't. They were rescued. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.
And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Like making common sense like a superpower. Don't forget, coming up after the top of the hour break, we have Alabama State Auditor Andrew Sorrell on. He's going to talk to us about some pretty interesting developments for him. Like his conservative business getting debanked. So that's coming up after the top of the hour. Let me continue right now, though, with this discussion about the IDF raid, the Israeli Defense Forces. One of the things that's so maddening is to watch the liberal media try to pivot on this thing. Israel just had a successful rescue of hostages that had been held as human shields after a tragedy that occurred last year. They've been held for 8 months. 8 months. And then you see things like the Washington Post goes immediately for a story here about the red state, by the way. Washington Post goes immediately for headlines like more than 200 Palestinians killed. What? By the way, completely unverified. The numbers they're using come directly from the Hamas-controlled Gaza Ministry of Health. Okay. That's like asking Hitler, what do you think, Hitler? How are the Germans doing today? I mean, it's asinine. Also, by the way, no indication about the so-called 200 deaths. How many of those were combatants? How many of those were members of Hamas? And for that matter, maybe civilians who just took up arms to fire at Israeli soldiers. And then there's the BBC interview. Yeah. The BBC interview where a guy named Jonathan Conricus, who's a former IDF spokesman, was being interviewed. And the anchor just immediately says, basically, let's talk about the death toll among Palestinians. Didn't ask about, you know, how long they've been held. Didn't ask about how their families reacted to them being home. Just wanted to talk about the death toll among Palestinians. And whether or not that had been anticipated. Should we talk about the Palestinian or the civilian impact? And the guy who was being interviewed, Conricus, was kind of taken aback, and he goes, yeah, I think we should talk about the civilians. Like, how about we investigate why these people were being held in civilian apartments for 8 months? Why did they do that? What was the role of the surrounding community and the hundreds, if not thousands, of Palestinians who for sure were aware that Israeli hostages were being held right there in their midst, and were they complicit with Hamas? Of course, he comes back with, we don't know they were necessarily complicit. He says, for sure, of course, we can't anticipate Israel to be warning ahead of a raid. Anyway, the bottom line is this. The liberal media went straight to, once again, the Palestinian defense It's like a reflex action now. Well, hey, be careful. Code Pink might come and protest a CNN studio. We better ask the questions about Palestinians first. The Palestinians were the guilty parties here. Just saying. CNN put up a banner that said, hostages released. No, they weren't. Hostages were rescued. There's a big difference. The release sounds an awful lot like the captors were the ones who were saying, we're going to let you go now. No, there was no humanity here. We don't know if they would have ever come home. I will say this. One report I saw said that the Biden administration had in some way lent support to the Israeli operations. I don't know what that means. I don't know if they used some form of intelligence, satellite imagery. I don't know if they used training, had some kind of advisory assistance, although they don't need it because they are fully mission capable. All we know is that something was done in the background to assist. I hope that's true. Because what immediately happened was right after the Israeli hostage rescue, we get Jake Sullivan from the National Security Advisor immediately asking for a ceasefire. He says the best way to get all the hostage home to protect Palestinian civilians is to end this war. Why did he say it that way? The best way to get all the hostages home and to protect Palestinian civilians is to end the war. The aggressor in this case, regardless of what Code Pink says, the aggressor in this case was and remains Palestinians. Maybe Hamas, and not everybody's a member of Hamas, but guess what? Hamas was elected into office as a ruling, controlling body in Gaza. And the very first thing out of Jake Sullivan's mouth is the best way to get all the hostages home and to protect Palestinian civilians is to end this war. And the best way to end this war is for Hamas to say yes to the deal President Biden announced. Okay, well, we'll see how that goes. In the meantime, how about just congratulations, Israel? You spanked them and you showed them that savages who raid your country are not allowed to just walk away. All right, we're going to switch gears. I'll take some text messages a little bit later on, but right now we're going to take a break. We'll come right back. State Auditor Andrew Sorrell calling in, talking about getting debanked. What? Yep, you heard me. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.